With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Thursday, December 1st. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher. We are brought to you by Prize Picks, and we've got a one-game slate today. Fantastic. Thank you, NBA. I hope that when we get into January and the NFL isn't running Thursdays any longer, or whenever that actually happens, that the NBA goes back to like a normal schedule, because a one-gamer of the Dallas Mavericks and the Detroit Pistons leaves a little something to be desired. But this is the DFS industry, and we need to get our fix. So we are going to talk about this game now. Adam will be back for Live Before Lock later tonight. And nothing's really going to change. We're just going to talk about basketball. So before we get started, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Follow Adam and I both on Twitter. Our handles are both below our names on the screen. Adam, how did your monstrous Wednesday slate go?
Really, really, really poorly. Played pretty contrarian, and pretty much every chalk play smashed. So just wasn't going to be a good night for me. I thought that I played a little bit too contrarian, just kind of looking through some lineups. There's some where it's like, okay, I didn't need that many contrarian pieces. But at the same time, like, I did get to some low-owned guys that did really well. So it's not like I was playing total garbage, but it's just really tough to get there when like all of the most popular plays do well. So
there's something really special about you saying all of the chalk plays smashed, and then Jesse is the one that wins the DraftKings slate for the second time in 3 days.
Yeah, that didn't go unnoticed by me, as I'm like just looking at how every popular player does well and Jesse's winning a tournament after making fun of me for playing too chalky.
I mean, it's exceptional. Of all the people that can win on a day where chalk smashes, it's the guy that is the fastest person to DFS Twitter to let everybody know how bad chalk was.
Right. And to be fair, I mean, he played a solid, like, it's not like he had an ultra chalky lineup, but no. If I won with the lineup he played, he would be talking shit without a doubt.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, yeah, he played two 50% owned guys on a 13-game slate.
Yeah. I looked at it, I laughed hysterically. And as I was scrolling back through my tweets, like catching up on the night, obviously in the build up to that, at some point in time, probably around like 9:30, 10 o'clock, he had a tweet that was just like, nobody runs worse or something along those lines. And I was just like,
oh, yeah, that one. The Phoenix game is randomly blowing out because Devin Booker is shooting 80%. Like, sorry, your guy scored 70 points in three quarters, and so you don't get a fourth quarter.
I mean, it was just all him and Ayton. An absolute dominant affair between the two of them. Depending on if you want to look at scoring or, you know, rebounding plus, et cetera.
And no, I'm not cold for the 100th time. I just, beanies are comfortable.
Yeah, but it's very true. It's always nice to be like bundled up in your own house.
Yeah, like I intentionally keep my apartment.
Too.
What'd you say?
It's cold today for me. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like freezing today.
Yeah, like I was just outside, so it actually served a purpose. And then I just didn't take it off because it was comfortable. I keep my apartment like coolish because I prefer that over being hot, but
I woke up and had to take something out to the garbage can, and it was, you know, like 40 degrees, so
yeah. Well,
it had been like 55-60 over the past couple days, so
for me it's always so, like, I walk outside and I'm like, oh, it's kind of chilly, but it's not that bad. But then like when I'm going to get coffee, you walk out and you walk up to the end of the block and then my building is no longer blocking the wind coming off the water, and you just get blasted until you get like to the next set of buildings.
That's the worst feeling in the world. Absolutely worst. I hate being like chilled to the core by wind. I just hate it because
like it makes your eyes water, makes your ears hurt.
Yeah, it's just no part of it is fun.
Yeah, it's not the cold part. It's just like I can't see, I can't breathe.
My problem is that I don't ever dress appropriately for the elements. Like, I am blaming myself here. I underdress even when I know the scenario requires better, warmer clothing.
Yeah, I mean, I have like a coat, but like it's not a good like winter coat. It's more of just like a coat that I can wear if I need a coat. But like typically I'm wearing a hoodie and something no matter how cold it is. And
yeah, I never really learned how to be better at that. I just laziness, I guess.
I don't like winter coats.
Same. I mean, like, I don't really own one at this point in time.
Mine's more of it's not a dress coat, but it's more of like you would go out to dinner in it. It's not to keep you warm. Yeah, it's warm, but it's not like that's not its main function.
Yeah, Katie bought me a pea coat, I don't know, probably like 2 or 3 years into us dating. And I think I've worn it twice.
Yeah, so I think that's what I have.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't, what am I going to do? Like, I need a very specific, we need to be probably somewhere that isn't here, going out to like a nice dinner or something like that for that coat to get brought out, because they're never a scenario where a sweater down here during the coldest part of winter is probably just going to be enough for me.
Yeah.
All right. We got through the 6.5 minutes exactly, just screwing around.
Like, you get wherever you're going, and then you just have this like giant coat.
Yeah, that was always my thing. Like, oh, you're not wearing something more warm. It's like, well, I mean, do we have to hang out outside when we get there?
Right. That's always I'm gonna be cold in the car for a minute until it heats up. I'm gonna be cold walking to the car into the restaurant or whatever. And other than that, I'm gonna be inside.
Did Larry Nance play yesterday?
Yes.
Okay.
Joe Val still had a nice game.
Sean V just keeps jerking himself in chat over getting Joval right. And I was just assuming that Larry Nance didn't play, and it was all like a very obvious thing.
No, I mean, he played. Joval did well. Joval didn't do anything worth talking about. Like, he scored 37 fantasy points at 6,400. Who gives a shit?
He's victory lapping 37, 30. He didn't even score 40?
Nah. He was 13 in one of my better lineups, so I know it was.
On a 13-game slate. We're acting like that matters.
37.75. So to put that into context, he lost to DeAndre Ayton by 20.
Sean V nails the Joval call. What was our projection? What was that, like a 60th percentile outcome for Joval yesterday?
I don't know what our projection was.
37 at what? You want to say 24, 25-minute projection for him yesterday?
I had him at 24 minutes.
Okay. So 1.5, I mean, it's a totally meaningless outcome.
He played 25.9.
Okay, yeah. A totally meaningless outcome. Imagine if we came in here talking about all of the plays that we hit that looked like that.
It was an actively bad outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't going to win if you had it, probably.
I mean, he lost to Mitchell Robinson for $2,000 less. He got crushed by DeAndre Ayton for $1,400 more. He scored the same as Jared Vanderbilt for like 1,000 less.
Amazing. Amazing. By the way, I think Steve won 100K on FanDuel yesterday too. So
yeah, pretty much everybody won yesterday except for us.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean? By us, do you mean you and me?
Yeah.
I mean, I broke even.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't play this late. So I woke up happy.
Yeah. Steve won. Jesse won. I know Brett Killaby, I think, won the Millie on DraftKings.
Yeah, I did see that. But yeah, shouts to Steve. DeColt, if you're curious, folks. Good to see. Good to see good people winning. Bad to see Jesse winning.
Yeah.
I hope he's in chat for that one. I know he's awake. I'd be awake too if I shipped that twice in 3 days. Just a lot of adrenaline. What's it like to run good?
I wouldn't know.
You want to talk about this slate?
No.
All righty. The Dallas Mavericks and the Detroit Pistons are on today's slate. The Mavs are 7.5-point favorites in Detroit, 221 total. On the Dallas side, everybody that could be available is available. That matters. On the Detroit side, Jaden Ivey is questionable And that's the only piece of news that we have for the Pistons. Now, that is an important piece of news for the Pistons, but we can talk about it at least. It's not Boyan and Isaiah Stewart and Marvin Bagley all with Q tags, so that's pretty helpful. I guess we should probably, we're going to start on the FanDuel side first. Then we'll talk a little bit about DraftKings, because obviously we're playing two very different games between FanDuel and DK. On FanDuel, for those that aren't aware, because I think it's probably in our best interest to talk about it this way, you don't multiply salary as you go up the fantasy point multipliers. So you have an MVP spot, a star spot, a pro spot, at different multiples. There is no salary multiplier. On DraftKings, captain spot multiplies salary and points by 1.5. So it's a very, very different mechanism, because for the MVP spot on FanDuel, you want the highest raw scorer, and that's just like what you have to have. And today's slate is pretty interesting when it comes to highest raw scorer, because this slate has Luka Doncic on it. And based on my projections right now, I have Luka Doncic 27 raw points ahead of the next closest guy on this slate. The chance that Luka Doncic is the MVP on FanDuel, in your eyes, is what? And we're just talking like hypothetically here.
70 plus?
Yeah. So we've got him projected for 71% ownership.
I was not looking at ownership when I said that. That was me just pretty much nailing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's only so many possibilities. There's only like one or two guys that can even really catch him to be the highest scorer for today's slate. I'm just going to open this up sort of wide, because it doesn't really have much to do with any individual plays. But what do you do on FanDuel on a day like today where you have this giant split between what Luka is at MVP and everybody else?
I feel like you just jam Luka and then get to some of the as many combinations as you can elsewhere. It's just so difficult, since you don't have to pay any extra, it's just so difficult to figure out how Luka's not getting there. I think I would say that if you're not playing Luka at captain, it's almost like you should, or at MVP, it's almost like you just shouldn't play him and hope he gets hurt or ejected or something.
7% owned at the
who's beating?
7% owned at the star, 2 at the pro, 1 at utility. He's 17K on FanDuel. So like that, as you start working your way back down, it just becomes easier to have like better players when you don't have him at the pro spot to be able to build that lineup out. Is there a case to be made to just not having him at all?
I think so.
Do you think that's viable?
So I would prefer to just have him at MVP in every single lineup. But again, I think that if you're not playing an MVP, it almost makes more sense to just not play him, because who's beating him realistically? Like, he projects 30 points higher than the next closest guy.
Yeah.
So it's almost like for him to not be the guy that you want getting the biggest multiplier, he gets ejected for, whining like he tends to do or something, and
rolls an ankle.
Right. Yeah. It's so difficult to figure out how Luka is in the winning lineup, but not the guy getting the biggest multiplier.
Yeah. I think we're on the same page here. I don't totally know what to do with Luka other than just say he seems like you just put him in at MVP and jam away. I don't really feel like there's a great case to be made to be balanced for it, to just sort of match the field on his MVP ownership. Because I would rather just have either all of the possible bullets on a day where he fails, or just shrug my shoulders and say I'm just not going to win today.
Right. Yeah, to me, it's a lot more interesting to just basically lock him in at MVP. Yeah. And then, when you look at the star pro utility spots, you get, the rest of the guys on this slate are a lot more interchangeable. So when you look at the star spot, you have 18% ownership coming to Wood, you have 18% coming to Ivy, 13 to Dinwiddie, 16 for Hayes, Tim Hardaway or Marvin Bagley, just as the first two names that I sort of looked at that were lower owned, are going to beat Christian Wood and Jaden Ivey a lot more often than Christian Wood and Jaden Ivey are going to beat Luka Doncic.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that one. As I'm looking at you know, the stuff that I've run and looking at the ownership projections that we have for people at the Star. I like that shout for Tim Hardaway, you know, Isaiah Stewart at 6.5, like trying to get the outlier guy at one or both of the two multiplier spots, the Star and the Pro. I think that's where we start looking at it. And that's sort of how you can make these Luka Doncic lineups a little bit more wild. And then there's just like the possibilities that, you know, this game doesn't go all that great and you get like 26 minutes out of a bench Sadiq Bey and he becomes the, you know, second or third highest scorer on a slate like today. I mean, that's, I'll probably have too much Sadiq Bey because I generally do, but, you know, we could talk about him in a little bit. Let's talk about the trickle-down effect for Jaden Ivey because he is the second most owned MVP play at 14K. Do you see Jaden Ivey, if he is in, as the second most likely high scorer on today's slate?
I think it's really close between him, Christian Wood, Dinwiddie, Bogdanovich. I don't really have a strong preference there. I mean, we have Christian Wood projected for the second most points, followed by Dinwiddie and then Ivey. So yeah. Kind of surprising that he's getting the second most.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it makes me more interested in Christian Wood. It definitely doesn't make me interested in Jaden Ivey at MVP. Like,
yeah, I mean, 12% is proper. I still just want Luka in all of them, but
yeah. Leo is a much better version of you.
I mean, that is technically true, yeah.
Yeah. Very, very true. Very true. Probably everything.
I can't think of a single thing that I would expect to be better than him at.
I mean, I bet you're better at math.
I'm not that good at math, though.
Yeah, but like he really has no need for it.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a guy that is probably not adding a lot.
Yeah, but like I don't know his background. Like I guarantee Matt Damon's better than me at math.
That wouldn't shock me. I mean, you saw all those like formulas and stuff he was writing on the board.
Right, exactly. I'm sure he definitely knew what they all meant.
The only math that Leo is doing is taking 2022 and subtracting birth 25. Years.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just like, okay. I know where my cutoff is. 1996, whatever it is for him.
He probably is good. So like I'm not very good at addition and subtraction, but I can do like division quickly from playing poker for so many years. He's probably extremely good at addition and subtraction just from doing the same, you know, yeah. Girl age calculation.
How old are you, sweetheart? Okay. Yeah. What's your birth year? You have an ID and a birth certificate, please. I don't want to get into anything squirrely. Okay, so let's start talking a little bit more about sort of what this game looks like, maybe the trickle-down effects for Jaden Ivey. Let's just assume, since we have the data in front of us this way, that Jaden Ivey is in. And then let's sort of just throw MVP in the garbage for right now. When you look at the Star and Pro spots, and I don't even really know how to ask this question, but like, is this just sort of a random number generator to you?
Kinda, yeah.
It's just so flat with a lot of these guys. That's
like I was hoping that we were going to get similar ownership, like a similar ownership ratio at the Star and Pro spots as we did at MVP, where Christian Wood is getting less than Ivy, but we're not. It makes sense there. So you're kind of just getting, you know, Wood, Ivy, Dinwiddie, Hayes, all very similarly owned and probably should be. Bogdanovich getting a bit less. I have no idea what to make of him, given that he played 19 minutes last game, but that was also a game where Detroit just ran absolutely ridiculous rotations, so I'm not going to read too much into it. They were getting destroyed, and it was just bad. They hockey line changed their starters 3 minutes and 15 seconds into the second half, and Boyan never came back. So there's some chance that you're getting 30-plus minutes from him here, and he's just not pulling ownership. So I think that volatility is pretty interesting. I'm interested in the fact that Tim Hardaway Jr. is not pulling any ownership. I don't know if that changes when we get it announced that he's starting again, but I'm assuming he's going to start again. So
I mean, they said he was.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. I believe the report was just like, this is, you know, Hardaway will continue for the foreseeable future. I don't think it was the opposite. In my mind, it's either that Hardaway was going to continue to start or that Bullock was going to continue to not start. But I kind of took those as the exact same thing in my head. But yeah, that's the problem. Like, in the grand scheme of things, Wood, Ivy, Dinwiddie, Hayes, Boyan. Like, I don't think any of these guys look all that different. And then you start trying to figure out, well, is it Jalen Duren, Isaiah Stewart, Marvin Bagley? Like, I think all three of those guys are, you know, set to play pretty comparable minutes. It starts to become – so how much are you paying attention to ownership in this situation? Assuming you're saying that you're going to have Luka in everything at the MVP spot, what are you sort of looking for from an ownership perspective? Are you just looking at star and pro, trying to find the leverage there, fitting in whatever works after that? How different are you trying to get to try to have a relatively unique Luka lineup? Because obviously, by having Luka at the MVP spot, you are greatly increasing your chance of having dupes.
Yeah, I think you just want to kind of get creative with the star pro utility spots. And keep in mind, you're talking about a Detroit team that, one, is really bad. Two, has a lot of interchangeable pieces, both in terms of fantasy production, but also in terms of the rotation. Like, you're just going to get inconsistent rotations from this team. So you can use that volatility to your advantage in this spot, I think. And, you know, again, you know, Killian Hayes getting a lot of ownership, Ivy getting a lot, but Bogdanović not getting that much. You know, Stewart and Bagley at 10%. Alec Burks getting 5%. His playing time is all over the place, but, you know, conceivably could play more than the 15 minutes he played last game. If he plays 22, 24 minutes for some reason, he's going to beat Hayes, you know, some percentage of the time. So I think just taking shots, you know, Jalen Duren is a good example where he's not going to come through very often. But if you get one of the bigs in foul trouble and you get a unowned Jalen Duren at star or pro, you know, that's appealing. Obviously, yeah. like you obviously need to run really good there, but it's still, it's probably close, but I still think like Jalen Duren is probably more likely to beat like Christian Wood than Christian Wood is to beat Luka Doncic.
Yeah. I think so too. When you start looking at this sort of stuff, do you care about your lineup construction at all? Like, are you in any way worried about like how many Mavs versus how many Pistons, or what's, you know, if you're running like a Mavs train in the multipliers or anything like that, does any of that really matter to you?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I don't.
The only way that it would is if there were like data that people just don't play at, you know, a certain type of stack. But if that data exists, I don't know it. So
yeah. Okay. Where can you go for salary savings? Because if you're playing Luka at 17K in the MVP spot, you're already just sort of limiting yourself. You know, you've got 43,000 for those next four guys. Who are your primary paydown options? It seems like Tim Hardaway is the guy that you and I are sort of identifying as the most underrepresented guy in our ownership projections.
Yeah, I can't believe that he's not going to get more ownership than that. But I mean, I guess he is pulling the most at utility. It's just a matter of he's not pulling any at star or pro. So I like him in those spots. Yeah, I mean, Duren, Josh Green played well, played 27 minutes. He was in the closing lineup. He played ahead of Reggie Bullock, essentially. Bullock only played 14 minutes. I know one of the Mavs beat writers was basically tweeting that he thinks Josh Green is ahead of Reggie Bullock now. Basically, the way he put it was, he thinks Green has clearly outplayed Bullock. It's a matter of whether or not Jason Kidd agrees with that. But I mean, at 6,500, it's not like he's a good fantasy producer, but if he's going to get, you know, you have a chance at least of getting like 26 minutes again at 6,500 and virtually no ownership. That's pretty appealing.
And you also, you know, that combination. I mean, there's just a couple of those guys at those sub 10K price tags where, like, would you be surprised? He's sort of like my boy now, but like, would you be surprised if $9,500 Sadiq Bey just got enough? I mean, I believe he took the most shots on the team in the last game.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He only played 18 minutes.
I believe he did. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do you have it in front of you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I have popcorn machine up, but I don't know how many shots people took.
I can get to it quickly.
What'd you say?
I can get to it quickly.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It looks like he took like 11 or something.
So that was on the 29th, correct?
Yes.
Sadiq Bey took 11 shots. Okay, so Beef Stew ended up getting there and had 13. Bey tied for second. So, like, he went 0 for 5 from 3 as well. Just brutal. Brutal. I think Stewart... Did Stewart come back in relatively late?
Yeah, Stewart got there late in the game. Okay. He started the fourth quarter and just went nuts. He played 9 minutes and 10 seconds in the fourth. They started the fourth with Hayes, Bagley, Stewart, Diallo, Magruder. He closed with Livers, Joseph, Durin, Knox, Diallo.
Here's a question for you. Who's out of this rotation if Jaden Ivey is back?
Well, Diallo apparently is already out.
Okay. So if that's the answer, that's fine.
And then I think Corey Joseph.
Okay, you think it is Joseph?
Yeah, so my assumption, because I had projected Diallo to basically play the Joseph minutes last game, but they apparently just wanted the ball handler. Like, it appeared that they just... I thought they would kind of just say, hey, we're the Pistons. It doesn't matter if we have a true point guard as our backup behind Hayes. We're just going to give Diallo some minutes. They chose to go with Joseph. I fully expect if Ivy comes back that Joseph's gone.
Okay. Because that's obviously like an interesting swing piece. If you can get the 10th guy, if there's 10 guys, correct. You know, if people are making a 5 to 10% bet on Diallo, on Knox, on Joseph, like somebody's going to end up being wrong right out of the gate there. And you might have a little bit more wiggle room from an ownership perspective.
Yeah.
I find FanDuel to be like oddly, I don't want to say easy, but I see a path of like how I would want to construct the lineups.
So do I. And then I see Tim Hardaway being 10% owned instead of 1, and I would just be pissed off.
Oh, you mean like from an actual perspective?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, best laid plans just get blown up by. Right. Yeah, I gotcha.
With the way ownership looks right now, I know exactly how I would want to play this slate.
So do I.
But I also don't think I'm that smart. So I think there's a lot of people that'll probably come to the same conclusion.
That I completely agree with. I mean, I think the guy, at least for me, looking at, so I ran a crunch before we got started. From the utility spot, the guy that I'm most interested in is $7,500 Jalen Duren. 14% owned right now. It's the salary savings that I'd be happy to get. He's the guy that showed up the most for me in the utility spot. Bojan Bogdanović, oddly enough, second, but I guess that's not all that crazy considering he's only 10-5 and is the best player on the Pistons.
I think the Bojan spot's really interesting because he missed time and then, you know, only played 19 minutes last game. But if you look at his real rotation, it didn't seem like he was going to be particularly limited. He played the entire first quarter and then he played 4 minutes to close the first half. So you're talking 16 minutes in the first half. That's right in line with the 32 minutes or so he typically plays. I think you're probably going to see, there's a good chance at least, you're going to see him a little bit under projected today. We have him at 32 minutes, so maybe not, but it seems like maybe people shy away from him a little bit just because people are really, really bad about like missing context and just jumping to the conclusion Bojan was out. Bojan played 19 minutes. Bojan was limited, when I do not think Bojan was limited.
No, I don't think he was limited at all. He's limited by the fact that the Pistons are shitty.
Right. Yeah, he's limited by the fact that they hockey line changed 3 minutes into the quarter, or yeah, into the second half, and then he just never came back. But yeah, like if that game were remotely competitive and the starter, you know, the starting unit didn't go -7 right out of the gate to start the second half, I think Bogdanović was playing 32 minutes or so.
Anything else you want to touch on from a FanDuel perspective that you see? Any flyers that seem like they're jumping out, or guys that at the ownership we're currently seeing you would want to avoid?
I don't really think so.
Okay. Well, then let's talk a little bit about schedule for the rest of the day. We have the NFL strategy show coming up after this. That exists. We have so much content. Even on today, we have so much content for you guys. It's kind of crazy. Seems like a crap day because of the basketball schedule, but it's just not. NFL strategy show matchups edition comes up at 11 a.m. We've got the NHL strategy show coming at 2 o'clock. The No House Advantage Thursday night football show coming at 3. Adam will be back for Live Before Lock with Greg tonight at 6 p.m. And then NFL Showdown Live Before Lock at 7:15. We also need to talk about Prize Picks. They are the presenting sponsor of this show. There is a link in the description. If you click that link, head on over to Prize Picks and make a deposit. They will match that deposit up to $100. So if you put in 50, they will give you 50. But if you put in 100, they're going to give you 100. And you're picking player props here. You can put together 5 on one card, net up to 10x your entry fee. You can even go up to 6 now. That's a thing that you can do. I forget what the multiplier is, though. And that's 25. Am I right there? Jordan, do you know it off the top of your head? You don't know it off the top of your head, do you? I think the new multiplier on Prize Picks is 6 for 25x. They just added it recently. So I don't want to get it wrong. Chat will probably correct me. Let me just mark all of these off and see what it says. More, less. 500 divided. Yeah, 25x. I was right. So you can do 6 now instead of 5x, 5 picks for 10. You could do 6 for 25x if you're interested. So check that out. I'm going to hit Adam with a couple of these props right out of the gate. We'll start with the most popular guy on today's slate. That's going to be Luka Doncic. How are you feeling at over under 30.5 real points?
Hang on. We don't have that in the showdown projections.
Let me know how you feel about my 33.7, because I am soaring over 30.5 for Luka here.
We have 33.4.
Okay, perfect. So looks like you and I are both taking the over on Luka points pretty quickly. How about Spencer Dinwiddie at 16.5?
We have 16 in 30.8 minutes. So I think it's probably a push. I think he probably plays a couple extra minutes.
Okay. Let's see. We'll do one or two more. We've got, okay, so I guess we're doing this one. I don't know why he's one of the guys that got listed, but Sadiq Bey, 14.5.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, I will also take the under pretty aggressively too, especially if Jaden Ivey is back. That's like a no-brainer to me, but even if Jaden Ivey is in, I don't know how many minutes to expect Sadiq Bey to play at this point. They don't seem very fond of him.
I don't see it listed elsewhere where I can bet.
Okay. Yeah, I have Bay. I gave Bay 20 minutes. Maybe that's a little light. But at the same time, I have Jaden Ivey back, and then it starts to get really murky. Let's do one more. Let's not do a points prop, though. We'll go to rebounds since there's some bigs here. What about 6 rebounds for Marvin Bagley? I got a slight over there.
Yeah, we have 6.7.
Yeah. Then the minutes between Bagley, Isaiah Stewart, Jalen Duren, very interesting dynamic there to see, you know, what's going to close, what sort of shape, like in a competitive game, who's actually going to be out there for the Pistons. Let's sort of have that discussion before we flip it over to DraftKings. In a competitive matchup with Jaden Ivey in, who is your expectation for a closing lineup for the Detroit Pistons?
With Ivey in?
Yes.
Hayes, Ivey, Bogdanović, Stewart, Bagley.
Okay. Whew. Ball from grace on Sadiq Bey.
Like, it could be Bey over one of the bigs, but I assume they just close with the starting lineup.
That'll work for me. Want to talk DraftKings now? And get back into your wheelhouse?
Yeah.
All righty. Let's switch it over to DK. And unsurprisingly, Luka is also going to look really, really good there. Spoiler alert, he's good. 91% owned right now for Luka. But because you multiply salary by 1.5x, and he's 14,400. That is, I don't know if I've ever seen a price that high on an individual player on a single game DraftKings slate, and no one else is close to him. The next most expensive guy is Jaden Ivey at 8,400. But because of multiplying that salary, Luka isn't just I got to play him at captain and there's no other way to do it. Now, do I think that you need to play Luka like sort of no matter what? Yes. Would you say that Luka is just essentially a lock button to you in some roster spot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's different. The difference is obviously that on DraftKings, you're paying more for captain. So it makes it so if you play Luka at utility, you can at least in theory build better lineups in the sense that you have more salary to allocate to your other spots. Whereas on FanDuel, you're just saying, well, I think somebody's going to outscore Luka, which is crazy. But DraftKings, at least you're getting some sort of benefit to not playing him at captain. Now, 38% captain still seems like it's probably kind of low, and I would rather just be jamming him at captain and playing a bunch of other stuff. But at least there's a conversation on DraftKings.
Yeah, it's going to get to the point where if his raw points start climbing, all the 1.5Xs in the world for some other guy is just not going to equate that extra half that he gets when you get those raw numbers up to like even just 60. But then we get relatively flat at the top between Dinwiddie, Wood, Boyan, actually, as the fourth most owned captain. What do you see when you look at the captain ownership that stands out most to you?
I mean, obviously Luka, and I think that's a little bit low.
Yeah.
Bogdanović at 8% still seems sort of low. Again, if you think he's going to play 32 minutes and be the second highest usage guy or the highest usage guy, depending on IV status, I think that's interesting. Tim Hardaway is interesting if it allows you to kind of just like jam in everything else. Like, I don't know. I haven't built lineups, so I don't know exactly what it opens up for you. But if going the Hardaway were to allow you to just get like Luka, Dinwiddie, Wood, Bogdanović, Ivy kind of thing, then like there's some appeal there since he's so low on.
I'm not so sure I want to get to the 3.5% of Alec Burks at the captain spot, given the way that that looks right now. I like Killian Hayes at 3.7. Not that it's like exciting or anything like that, but he showed up in about 8.5% of the crunch that I ran before. So it feels like he's a little underrepresented. I would have a hard time getting to those Burks captain lineups. There's just a couple other guys that I think you could pay down for. Like, I think I would be more likely to take a shot at Jalen Duren captain lineups at 4,200 than Alec Burks at 5,800.
Yeah, and Hayes obviously looks better if Ivy's out as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that ownership would then be, I would imagine, climbing. Any ownership that you see at the captain spot that you don't like?
No, I mean, it's a situation where like some of these 3% and 4% owned guys, like I don't really want them a captain, but also if they're going to be 3% or 4%, who really cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think Christian Wood is about right. I think Spencer Dinwiddie is about right. I think Boyan is about right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Christian Wood's the one that I would point to and say like probably shouldn't be that much more popular than like Dinwiddie and Bogdanović and Ivy, just given that he's likely to play 26 minutes and those guys could all play quite a bit more. But
yeah,
at the same time, like he's a really good point per minute guy. He's going up against the Pistons. He's probably going to have a big game.
I don't really see anything else at captain that's worth pointing out. To me, there aren't any punt plays, like true bottom of the barrel guys. Could you see any justification for like a $2,200 Dwight Powell?
That's a really tough one, just given how little he's been playing. I mean, he did get 18 minutes last game, I guess, but I don't really have much confidence in that happening again. But you also, I guess, don't need that much confidence. The thing is, like, he's still getting 22% ownership.
I just don't know how many fantasy points he would need to be relevant at captain.
Yeah, I mean, so that would Luka. The thing, I don't think there's enough expensive players in this game to want to go that route.
Right. That's sort of like, where I was going with that.
Right, because you can probably, again, I haven't built lineups, but I'm pretty sure whatever lineups you're getting with Dwight Powell at captain, you can get pretty much the same thing by going to somebody that is better than Dwight Powell.
Yeah. I didn't get any on the 500 lineup crunch that I ran. So it seems like that's probably not the way that you need to go. Like Isaiah Livers at 3,400. You know, showed up in one or two. I don't think that you need to drag the bottom of the barrel because it's just sort of Luka and then everybody else is average priced. What do you see at the utility spot then? Because we've got Luka with a little, I mean, he's the most owned utility guy too at 53%. You've got same sort of situation with Dinwiddie and Wood and Bogdanović. I mean, it's basically just the same order of operations that we were talking about before. I think Alec Burks is massively overowned in this spot right now, but I also don't think that that ownership number is going to look like that at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't think Alec Burks should be more popular than Tim Hardaway.
No, I don't think Alec Burks should be more popular than a couple guys that are underneath him, but that's neither here nor there. Who stands out, though? Anybody underrepresented, overrepresented that you see?
Bagley at 22% might be a little bit low. Like he didn't play a lot last game, only played 23 minutes. But again, I don't know how much we can read into that game. He was part of the hockey line change at the start of the half. Probably was going to play like, I don't know, 26, 28 minutes, I would think, a good percentage of the time. So I think he might be going a little bit underowned. Similarly, Jalen Duren not getting a ton of ownership. One of those guys is likely to have a big game here, or at least be on the floor enough minutes that they would project to have a big game. Obviously, you can't guarantee what they're going to do while they're out there. But the $4,200 price tag on Duren, I think, is pretty interesting if he's only going to be 24% owned.
Yeah, Duren is likely the guy that I'm most heavy on in comparison to where we have these public ownership projections.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make me feel good to think, well, the guy that I want today is the Pistons backup center. But, you know, you got to take this.
I've done it on bigger slates than this.
That's fair. That's fair. Maxey's at 21, Josh Green at 20. I mean, you get into that range where you're kind of just picking random dudes that are 20% owned at this point. Is there someone you see out there that can really make your lineup different?
I don't think so.
Kevin Knox.
Amadou Diallo and hope that they get blown out or something.
Yeah. I guess
honestly, that might be my answer. Like, he's not getting any ownership. I don't think he's in the rotation, but Dallas can also just beat the shit out of Detroit. If you build a lineup where it's just like Luka, Dinwiddie, Wood, Hardaway, you know, Diallo, like,
yeah,
not the craziest thing.
That's why I said Knox. I think those two are sort of like interchangeable at the unowned people range. I guess Corey Joseph, like, if we're just wrong.
Right. Yeah. If he just does happen to somehow still be in the rotation.
Yeah. 2,400. I mean, like, he's a vet. He's playing for like a vet coach. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. Like, I wonder how much Corey Joseph's ownership would climb if Ivy got ruled out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it definitely should. Yeah. And the main reason I say I don't think he's in the rotation when Ivy comes back is we've already seen him booted from the rotation this year. So I don't think, like, to your point, I don't think there's any sort of real, like, loyalty. Like, oh, we're going to give Corey Joseph minutes because he's a vet.
No, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I don't really want to roll the dice on, like, the 1K Bertans or the 1K JaVale at this point. 7% owned Isaiah Livers is probably interesting, but he's just not good on a per-minute basis, so you really need a pretty specific outcome.
He does fit the garbage time play, though.
That's true. I mean,
so, like, he's kind of nice in that regard. He's cheap. He could start, but, like, I assume he's going back to the bench if Ivy's back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's probably out there in garbage time, but like Diallo's the better point per minute guy. If you get a situation where like Ivy's back and so Livers isn't starting, I would rather just probably go the Diallo route and realize that he's going to play 0 minutes a decent amount of the time, but that he's at least not going to be owned at all.
My optimal lineup for today on DraftKings is, no surprise here, Luka Doncic at captain.
Way to go out on a limb there.
Yeah. I mean, I take really wild stands from time to time. Christian Wood, Boyan, Dorian Finney-Smith, Jalen Duren, Maxi Kleba.
That sounds fun.
That is just a really, I don't even know how to cheer for that. That is gross. Gross. My third most optimal lineup does get Dwight Powell into it, which is interesting. I didn't look at the FanDuel one. I guess I should take a quick look at the FanDuel optimal before we pack this one in, because I think you and I have exhausted everything that we could possibly say about this one.
Using our projections, the optimal has Powell.
Does it really?
It also has Burks, which I'm not on board with that one.
Neither am I. My optimal on FanDuel is Luka MVP, Christian Wood star, Dinwiddie pro, Boyan, Jalen Duren, which I kind of like. You know, you get like one Piston starter that can do okay enough. You get boat raced by the Mavs, good guys, and then you get one bench guy.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, the second most optimal one just swaps Boyan and Dinwiddie in the pro spot, which I find even more interesting, even if it stays like a little competitive. Can you imagine if at the 1 o'clock injury report, we get that Luke is questionable and somehow he sits for today's slate and just all of a sudden it's a just random tire fire?
That would kind of make the slate more fun, I think. I was more concerned that we're going to get the 130 injury report and it's just going to be every Piston is questionable.
In a way, it'd be more fun. But at the same time, then you'd have to watch Mavs Pistons without Luka.
Well, yeah, I don't want to watch the game. But like, just from a, you have to actually make decisions and not blindly jam Luka in. It would be a little bit more fun.
Mike Gray, as far as I understand, Kemba Walker is not playing today. But yes, that would be that would throw a wrench in things if he played for 20 minutes today. He would also probably be optimal if he played for 20 minutes.
Extremely defic.
Yeah. You have no idea. I mean, if this were like a when it's the playoffs, it's not so bad because you're talking about like good teams and real rotations. When you're right. talking about the Pistons, it's like, I don't know, man. These guys blow. They're one of the worst teams in basketball.
Yeah, it like obviously talking one game, it sort of is going to suck regardless, but like if you're talking good teams and interesting players, it's one thing. But when you're just like, oh, you know, Josh Green, Maxi Kleba, Davis Bertans, Amadou Diallo, Kevin Knox, like who cares?
Yeah, it's not fun. 45 minutes, man. I think we did pretty well.
Yeah, agreed.
Guys, hit that like button for the 190 of you that are here. It's nice to have you here. Is there anything else you want to add? Any like DraftKings Showdown strategy thoughts that you try to employ? Any like groups or
I don't know the
structure?
Last time I played. I don't know the last time I played DraftKings Showdown. So
fair.
No, I will be figuring
the
out.
NBA playoffs.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so you'll
and
be
I don't
back.
Think I did well. So
you'll be back for NBA Live Before Lock later today. Are you doing a tournament plays video today?
No.
Okay. Obviously, injury report video. It could go out as a tweet.
Yeah. Also, not
Jaden Ivey's questionable.
Jaden Ivey's questionable. If he doesn't play, I still don't know because it's the Pistons.
Yeah. Guys, thank you for joining us here. NFL Strategy Show Matchups Edition is coming up next. That will be at 11 a.m. Plenty of content to get you through the rest of the day. But the NBA has made our lives a little bit easier. So enjoy the freedom of not having to pay attention to things all day. Good luck tonight. We're back again tomorrow doing it all like normal. So peace.